Welcome to Manowaker Studios Flash Fiction Podcast. I'm C.B. DeRogi. This week, Even Poison Apples Fall Not Far by J.M. Williams. My crow only knows one word.
Hostile,
Wesley caws whenever strangers come near. He likely picked it up from me. I do not think he knew that word when I first encountered him on my journey into the past. Still, it's not a respectable way to greet anybody, let alone a stranger. Sensing such a stranger make their approach, I stopped slicing my ginger root to feed Wesley some cornbread and keep his beak busy. I spun away from my cutting board before the stranger could knock, expecting a man with a pitchfork. Instead, the stranger who had been so bold as to sneak up on our new stone hut that day was but a young girl with rosy cheeks and a burlap dress. She froze, knuckles raised to the doorframe. I froze too, hands grasping the edge of my countertop behind my back. We surprised each other. This was a visitor I had long expected, yet was quite unprepared for. We looked each other over as Wesley tore at his biscuit.
"Oh my, the day has come," I whispered.
I wiped the sticky aromatic juice of the ginger on my apron.
"You must be the baker's daughter."
The poor girl stepped back from my threshold.
"How did you know?"
"Come now," I said, hands on my hips. "You journey through the woods to glimpse the new village witch, but are surprised when she sees you coming." It was an unfair point for me to make. My magic had nothing to do with how I knew who she was, not in the expected sense.
"I didn't know you were a witch," she trembled. "I thought you were a mage."
She was innocent, but I was full of feelings on the matter.
"Your village calls me a witch. Does that not make me one?"
She lowered her gaze, hid her face.
"My neighbors don't like strangers."
After a pensive silence, she ventured a new question.
"What's your name?"
"My name is Marathea," I told her. I knew hers to be Marta, the name I was given before I chose my own.
"Where did you come from?"
Marta asked. I raised my eyebrows. "Would you believe me if I told you I was from the future?" She shuffled back another step.
No,
she stammered. "That sounds impossibly strange." I did not blame her for not recognizing me. I had changed so much since I was her. My name, my look. Surely there was nothing of herself left to recognize in me, except perhaps the shared emerald sparkle of our eyes. Another day, I would tell her that the future I came from was her own, but she was still so naive, she was unrecognizable to me as I was to her, this past version of myself. She was still short for her age, in the twilight of her 9th year, if I remembered correctly. Fully grown, I now stood taller than most of the villagers. She gathered her bountiful blonde braid over her shoulder to ease her nerves. I smoothed a hand over my fuzzy scalp, having long ago shaved those locks away. The water bubbled in its pot on the hearth.
"This is the first time I've even left the village on my own," she said. "I couldn't imagine running away to a different time."
I chuckled. I remembered leaving the village. I remembered lying to father, sneaking away from mother, being drawn toward the trees by something I felt compelled to find. How lost I had gotten since that first wanderlust. I told her I was run off by so many villages that my reputation began to precede me. Soon there was nowhere left on these islands to escape but into the past. I exchanged a glance with my bird and brushed a knuckle against his feathers as he pecked one last crumb. Even Wesley here flies beneath a sun that has not yet risen on the day his egg was laid. She steadied herself on the doorframe, so easily impressed I had been at that age. I narrowed my eyes. I knew her thoughts, They had once been my own. You want to know what I could have done to get myself chased away by so many people.
No, ma'am,
she stuttered, lying out of respect. Another trait I would grow out of.
Then tell me, Marta, why are you here?
I knew the answer, but she needed to speak for herself. She hesitated, then recovered one of the steps she had taken away from my threshold.
Father says not to trust anyone from outside. But I saw you do something I think was good. I saw what you did for the leper at the edge of town. Arthur's his name, yes?
The matter was 2 days an hour past, but Marta's version was 30 years ago for me now. I recalled her perspective in pieces as she recounted the events.
I was helping Father serve solstice pastries to our neighbors in the square. Suddenly the watchman ran up yelling, "She's raiding the stores!" Everyone dropped what they were doing to stop you. I ran to look. What I saw was all of our lumber flying through the air like birds. I watched you build Arthur a cabin without lifting a log, and all they could do was complain that you were wasting their wood. I shrugged, feeling oddly guarded in that moment. It was a simple levitation charm. No hard work. They sure made light work of burning it down.
She stepped closer, over the stoop and through my doorway.
Father was glad it burned. The neighbors, too.
I was struck dumb. The memory was fresh. The sights and the smells from when I was but 9 years old. The chill of the wind through my blonde braid as trunk after trunk breezed past. The heat on my rosy cheeks as I watched the cabin, a gift for an outcast, turned to embers. Marta broke the silence.
Mother said that if Arthur wanted a home, he could have built one himself.
I sniffled.
Oh yeah? And what did you do about it?
Wesley cawed, cocked his head at me. Marta thought, then lifted her chin.
I would have helped rebuild, but I was on my own. Once the fire died, I brought Arthur some of our pastries Father left behind.
I closed my eyes. I had forgotten that part of the story. So much brighter had the memory of the fire burned. For the first time, I felt a strange kinship with my younger self.
I'll ask again, child. What could you want from a mage like me?
I knew what she wanted, but again, it was imperative that she say it herself.
Head held high, young Marta said, I want to learn. Perhaps if someone from within the village could do the same things you do, they'd be more welcoming.
She watched me carefully. Seeing that I knew not what to say, she added,
Arthur's not the only neighbor who needs a home.
My words caught in my throat, with the knowledge that speaking them would condemn us both to a life of villages running us out, beginning with our own. I turned away and loomed over my countertop, fraught over moving forward. But then I thought, and then I smiled, reached for my breadbasket, and took another biscuit. I spun around to face her.
Catch,
I said. Then I threw the cornbread. She caught it.
Wesley flapped his wings over to land on her shoulder. A grin cracked her parched lips. Then she took a bite. Tastes just like Father's recipe, she said.
Imagine that, I said. Tomorrow's your 10th birthday, correct? She nodded, no longer surprised by my antics.
Enjoy your day tomorrow, dear. Celebrate with your family, with your neighbors, with whomever you choose. The day after next, return here, and I shall teach you. Understood? Yes, Marathea.
She curtsied, and with that the connection was made. I bid her adieu, called Wesley back to my arm, and watched through the doorway as she left, skipping through the grass as if gliding over the blades. I remember that 10th birthday. I remember wishing it away. I remember feeling a stronger sense of becoming the day after, entering the woods with the feeling that I would return to the village a little stranger than I left it.
Hostile.
Wesley asked his only word with a cock of the head. I hummed and crossed my arms as the girl, as I disappeared from view. No, Wesley. At first it felt like a completely different person had walked into our hut moments ago. But now, on the contrary, I don't think I've changed a bit. Come now. We've much to do to prepare for my return in 2 days' time. This has been Even Poison Apples Fall Not Far. Written by J. M. Williams. Manawaker Studios Flash Fiction Podcast is supported by patrons on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/manawaker to find out more. The Flash Fiction Podcast theme song is by Kevin MacLeod. The podcast is produced, edited, and narrated by me, CB Drogi. Thanks for listening.